Welcome to Man Talk, a ministry sponsored by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where we're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and to point men to their God-assigned roles. Now here's your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr.
Thank God we are back here again, Roy. I'm Will Hardy, one of your hosts for Man Talk Radio.
And I'm Roy Jones, the other host.
And Roy, you know, we had Dwayne Kennedy on last week. And you know what? We got him back again. Dwayne Kennedy.
In the house.
He's in the house. He's in the house. And you know, we were talking about some real conversations last week. But we want to lead our conversation this week into some of the things that we kind of touched on, but we didn't really talk about. So we want to talk about miracles, because we know there is a lot of false prophets out there. We hit on false prophets before.
We have, yes.
So there's a lot of individuals out there, I think, who, and we, when we were talking about sensationalizing the gospel, I think that was leading us into this conversation, because you have a lot of individuals who they just take off their coat, Roy, swing it, and just slay 200 people in the spirit, just like that. And you kind of, and you go, wow, what power, or what power is it coming from?
Right.
See, that's the key. So miracles, we want to talk about, what is a miracle? Do miracles continue to exist today? We're not going to get into all of this, but how do you feel about miracles? Have you had a miracle happen in your life? Mm-hmm. Have you seen people that experience miracles in their life? And how would you define what a miracle is? So we open it up. Dive in. Gentlemen.
I'm looking at Dwayne thinking, well, let him dive in first. But well, I think there's a lot of things that people classify as miracles, and only God knows if they're truly a miracle or not, right? Right. And we've, some of the stuff that we see, back to the theatrics and the sensationalism, we can obviously, we've got discernment to know. And when we see some of the healings that go on TV evangelism that seem to be the same person 2 weeks earlier and 2 weeks later, we know that's probably not a true miracle. But when I think of a miracle, Will, just from, by definition, I personally feel that that's, when I use the word miracle, it's something from God. For me personally, if I refer to something that he's done, or, and I know the article we had that you and I were reviewing prior to the show had a little bit of a different twist on that for some situations, which, you know, that's a man's opinion. That's not discernment all the way, right? So, but that's what I think of when I think of the word miracle. I think it's always a gift from God, whatever it is, if I'm referring to it as a miracle. And there's blessings that we also use the word for, blessings. And I think, in a sense, sometimes the blessings he's given us with saving someone, saving our children, saving us from accidents like you and I have talked about, are miracles, but blessings at the same time.
Mm, amen. What say you?
Well, hey, you know, well, first of all, I'd like to say about, I believe that wherever your faith is at, because you can get healed by a false prophet, but it's according to where your faith is at, you know, and you can wean them out. You can wean them out. So, I mean, I think a miracle to me is something that God does for his people. But I want to share it. I'll share this with you right quick, because we can't look at the same thing the way the world look at things.
That's right.
Like Roy says, a miracle, you know, it's from God.
Mm-hmm.
Case closed. But when God was, it's so funny, and you can find this story in Exodus 3. It's actually the whole story from the Exodus from Egypt until they let them go.
That's right.
But this is what's funny. The same thing that God, well, I put it like this: when God was speaking to the Egyptians, he called them plagues. But when he was speaking to the Israelites, the same thing that he called plagues, he called them miracles, wonders. It's deep. So the same thing that he called plagues for the Egyptians, he called them miracles. And you can see that. And if you read Exodus 3, it's all in there. Exodus, I think you can start at 3 and go all the way to 11. It's all in there. But it's deep.
It is.
Because another man's, I guess the best way to say it, one man's plague is another man's miracle. And I came up with this thing when the 2020 kicked in. Because I didn't think that 2020 was a bad thing. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I ain't saying, you know, we ain't lose nobody. I'm not saying all of that. It could have been all kinds of stuff that went on. But I will say that I think it was more of God pulling away chairs from the table than he was placing chairs at the table. I seen a lot of Christian friends and people who I looked up to as Christian believers that was falling short. They didn't even have the same values as Christ.
Yeah.
So that's how I looked at it. But if you look up...
Called them out.
Yeah. If you go to Exodus 3:18 and read 3:18 to 3:20, I mean 3:18 to 20, you see what I'm talking about. He called them plagues to when he dealt with the Egyptians. But Exodus 11, the same things that he called plagues, Exodus 11:1, he called them wonders. He called them miracles. So one, you know, and with great study, and we have to understand what's the difference between a plague and a wonder. See, those things was wonders for, because God said, I'm going to put these plagues on them, but they ain't going to let you go. Mm-hmm. So he told them, you know, that they're not going to let you go, so I'm going to put another plague on them. But these was miracles for you, because sooner or later they're going to let you go. See, so all this suffering and all this chaos that you dealt with.
Well, yeah. This is good.
Yeah, sooner or later he's gonna let him go. So, you know, I just wanted to share that, but I think miracles and all of that stuff is really at a place where you are. Mm. Not necessarily the phony coat slinger. You know what I mean? Yeah,
the slaying of 200.
But I think where you are mentally, physically with Christ is how that you get your matter of fact, the Bible says you was healed because of your faith. You was healed because of your faith. All through Scripture, he said, I never seen much faith as this. You healed because of your faith in me. You healed because of your faith. You healed because of your faith. Mm-hmm. All through Scripture, he says the same thing. You're healed because of your faith. See, so it ain't got nothing to do with the individual.
Amen.
Right, the phony. Right. You know, and there's a bunch of them out there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I seen some of them. It's like, man, I just want to, Lord, let me take them out. You know? Because this stuff is just so plain and right in
it
your
is.
Face.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
But God prepared us for that.
He did.
Exactly.
He did.
Exactly. And you know, when you were talking about that's interesting because in Exodus chapter 7 and 8, you know, you continue to go through the plagues. When God made Aaron, Moses' prophet. Mm-hmm. That's what it says in Scripture, chapter 7. So he was the prophet. So what is a prophet? Prophet is the mouthpiece of the individual of whom you are representing. So now, when you look at that and you say, okay, well, Moses said, Aaron, throw down the rod. Threw down the rod, became a serpent. Ha, 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 Pharaoh said. Magicians, come on in here. Boom, threw down their rods. All of a sudden, they became serpents. Mm. But God was showing superiority. Where did his superiority come from? When Aaron's serpent swallowed all of their serpents. God was showing superiority. See, you can do tricks, but I'm the real deal. Mm-hmm. That's what God was saying. Yeah. I'm the real deal. So you can't have these little tricks that you show. And see, we don't know what kind of trick it was, if it was some type of magician trick or it was actually some power that was being driven by the enemy to do the things that they did.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know because we see and go to Las Vegas, we see illusionists. They make buildings disappear. They make elephants appear. But that's all smoke and mirrors. See, so we can't see what they did, but we do know that it was driven by the power of the enemy. So we know that the enemy can do tricks. And what else? What other trick that he did? He called out the frogs, called out the rivers of blood. They did the same thing until they came to number four. And when they came to number four was the dust. He didn't say grains of sand. He said the dust became lice. Now, in these modern translations, they say gnat. Well, a gnat is not as bad as a lice. A lice bite, and you can get disease from it. A gnat is just a little pesky thing. When I'm mowing my grass and the gnats be flying all around, I'm trying to, you know, wave them away from me, you know, but they're not here biting. They're just a pest, you know, they're just in the way. But God used the dust. He didn't use the grains of sand. Why couldn't the magicians do it? There was no more dust for them to use. God used the dust. You're not using the same thing I do. God created it. He can use it. Y'all with me? I see a lot of eyes open. Yeah. Wide open. See, so we see all these things that's transpiring when it comes to miracles. So we can't always believe that just because someone do something that we classify as a miracle, if we don't bump that up against scripture, then what we end up doing is accepting a lie.
Yeah. As the truth.
As the truth. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Roy, what say you? I know you enjoy this thing over here. I see the big smile.
I'm enjoying. Good to hear my brothers talking.
Praise God.
You know, for me, as I reflect back on my life, and I grew up in going to different churches because I was a child without parents that went to church, right? So I was constantly seeking something down in my heart that I knew that God had some sort of calling for me. Mm-hmm. And back to the miracle piece, I think the miracle is the fact that I'm here today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just based on the way I grew up, the dysfunction that occurred, and so many different things. And, you know, Dwayne, like you were talking about, it's all in the Word. Everything's in the Word. And we talk often about the difficulty that men have getting in the Word, mostly men, right? It's a challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
Very much a challenge. And in fact, the series we're starting tonight is about that, becoming better disciples and getting anchored in the Word. But you know, Will, you and Dwayne make some great points. I was smiling because I'm sitting here enjoying to hear how God's speaking through you both of you guys. I guess, Dwayne and Will, what I would ask you guys, you know, and folks, we often talk about, we haven't said it much lately, but we did use it last week. You know, I've got two of my brothers that don't look like me, and I don't look like them. That's standing in front of me, and their lives are a little bit different than mine were growing up. And I would just like to ask you two guys, so we can get real for a minute, what was the most challenging thing for the two of you growing up in your life? I had dysfunction and no leadership. And what was your most challenging thing for each of you as you grew up in the areas you grew up in? Or did you have parents that were followed the Lord or no? And I think it would be good for our listening audience to know a little bit about behind the men.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I didn't have what you would call a Christian background, but my mom went to church every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, excuse me, well, Sundays, we did all day long, you know, and my dad wasn't around. So I have respect for women in the sense where, you know, I know a lot of people say a woman can't teach you how to be a man, but I have problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I seen a little short lady handle five hard-headed boys, and she kept us all in check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I hats off to women that are unfortunately
single
in that position.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom raised me right. You know, she raised me in the church, even though my mind wasn't even in the church. But she kept that
in front of you.
Matter of fact, here's a funny story, because I believe in the power of your words, right?
Mm.
And I believe that you can speak yourself into certain things. You can talk your way into it. You can talk your way out of it.
Yes.
One thing about my mom, we had to, and you didn't go against Miss Connie. One thing about my mom, we had to answer the phone. I believe God, hello. If you answer that phone any other way, oh, you was getting dealt with from Miss Connie. I had to answer my phone for years. One of the little thuggish kind of dudes in the Philadelphia, I was growing in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But I had to answer my phone. I believe God, hello. I believe God, hello. I believe God, hello. And I believe in the power of speech because mm-hmm. it got to a place where I believed in God, hello. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And I think all of that was a result of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then my dad, he used to come and get me. Cause I got out of the hood. I started seeing that it's more stuff out here than just my neighborhood. See, a lot of people, kids, Afrocentric kids, they don't know.
There's something different.
Yeah, and they don't get that experience. That's why I remember the guys used to come get me fishing, take me out the hood. I remember the guys used to come take me camping. You know, so those things that you guys do is definitely impacts on people's lives. But my dad used to come get me and take us on road trips all over the United States. We'd be on road trips the whole summer. Wow. You know, so that's where he impacted my life. And I knew my dad when he wasn't saved, and then I knew he was saved. Amen. So my dad showed me how to roll my first joint. But he was the one that also gave me my first Bible. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, so that's just the kind of relationship that it was. Mm-hmm. But I believe that growing up, we are exposed to different things. But when I started finding scripture, Roy, because a lot of people started American slavery. It's a white man's book. Hmm. That's where they start. And then you got some people that start, oh, I'm a Hebrewite, I'm an Israelite. Okay. I start in the first two chapters of Genesis. The first two chapters of Genesis is God's perfect will for our lives with him. No sin. This is what he wanted. Yep. This is what he expected. And this is where we were.
Yeah.
See, so I start in the book of Genesis. See, so I don't start at the white man's book. I don't start here, there. I start there. See, so anytime people come at me, you can't get, because everything there was before sin. Sin came in the third chapter. So all the slavery and all this stuff, and the Bible pushed down everything that was about American slavery, tears it down. And people talk to me, and I'm like, well, you haven't read the book, because you don't even know what's in there. See, so I started the book of Genesis.
And amen.
I started the God's perfect will for us. It was no white. It was no black. It was no Greek. It was no racist.
Right.
It was just him and his people.
Yeah.
That's where I start at. That's where I stay at. And that's where I can relate to it a lot of different things.
True love affair. Yeah. Will?
Yeah. You know, the relationship is what matters. And if an individual can say all kinds of things, but if they can't relate to what a person is saying, then you really hadn't had a conversation. You know, so for the most part, with me growing up, we had things like block clubs. You know, we had block clubs and we had block parties where they would just section off the street from one end to the other. You get on there, even the fire department would come turn the fire spigot on. You get out there in your bathing suit and thrash around, and then you go to the neighbor's house, and they have a big spread waiting for you in the back. All the kids in the neighborhood, all the kids in, you know, surrounding neighborhoods would just come, and you would just eat. And see, these are the things growing up that I think was priming me and getting me ready for the gospel message. Because, see, if a person don't want to talk about the word of God, then you don't want to talk to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just don't want to talk to me. And some people say, well, you know, you shouldn't introduce the word of God to people. You just need to meet them where they are. Well, you meet them where they are and you talk to them, but eventually the salvation and faith come as a result of hearing the gospel. Yeah. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Greek first and then also the Jew. So it comes, well, Jew and then Greek. It comes all of the other things you can do, but in the end, it's the gospel message.
Amen.
You know, the gospel is what saves. Miracles don't save. You know, everybody who was raised from the dead, Roy, had to die again. Who want to go through that? I'm just saying. Yeah. You know, Lazarus said, here I am dead. You raised me up. Now I got to die from something else.
Now I got to go back.
You know, so.
I was home where I belong.
All of these things were used by God in order to point people to the gospel. You know, when people were looking for Jesus and they were saying, people are looking for you. He stealed away, went away to pray. People are looking for you, looking for you. Well, what are they looking for me for? Well, they want you to heal. They want you to feed them. So they were coming for food and they were coming for the miracles. They weren't coming for the gospel message.
They weren't coming for the relationship.
And Jesus said, it's the gospel that saves you.
Mm. Amen.
You know, in Matthew 7, 21 and 22 or 21 and 23, it talks about where people are going to come and they're going to say, Lord, didn't we do this?
Yep.
Didn't we go to the hospital? Didn't we feed the poor? Did we do it? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Mm-hmm. So there's individuals out there, Roy, who are doing miracles, but don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
That's good, Will. Well, folks, we've wrapped up a second show. It's amazing how quick it goes when there's three of us. It goes pretty quick when there's two of us. But, Dwayne, it's great to have you back with us. And, Will, it's great to see you. And let's close in prayer, and we'll wrap this thing up. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about you, to share the gospel, Lord, and just to show love to our brothers and sisters that are listening online. And, Father, we just thank you so much for all the miracles you've worked in our lives. All your many blessings, Lord, and just the fact you've got the three of us here today, Lord, doing your work and chasing you, Father, and pursuing you. And, Lord, we just ask that you continue to make us salt and light to the world. And, Father, make us better disciples each day as we move forward in your love. And all God's men said, amen.
Amen. Amen.
As we conclude today's show, TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, are building a community of men to be servant leaders in their home, communities, churches, and work environment. Check us out at our website for upcoming events and regular scheduled meetings. Don't forget to send us an email for topics that you would like us to visit in the future. Thank you for joining us today on Man Talk. Visit us at TAWCMM.com.